You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, how great you are. Father, you are so wonderful. You are so mighty. You are so loving and caring. And Father, we thank you that you have our best interest at heart. And Father, there's no explanation for that, but we are so, so grateful. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would be ever so real to us. And Holy Spirit, that you, Lord, would teach us and guide us as we look at your word and as we look at your truths. And Father, I thank you, Lord, to be back home. And it's wonderful, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. How are you doing? Well, it was funny. We, as you know, just got back from Israel, and it was interesting to go traveling. But I tell you, when the plane landed in LAX, I just kept singing, "I want to be in America. I want to be." Everyone's looking at me like, "You're weird." I go, "I know. I'm just happy to be." We were going to kiss the ground, but it was LA, so you don't do that there. Waited till I got back here, and then I kissed some dirt. Anyways, hey, a couple of things real quick. We are having a servant appreciation lunch on the first Saturday of December. I think it's the second. It's the first? It's the first? Oh, okay. Saturday the first. Now, here's the thing. This is for all servants. We're going to have lunch. We're going to do some fun stuff. We're going to do some fun stuff. We're going to do a white elephant gift exchange. But here's what we need. We need to know if you're going to attend. So in the fellowship hall, underneath the connection TV right there as you go through on the left, we need you to write down that you're going to be there and how many people will be with you, because we have to order the food and we want to make sure we have enough for everyone. So keep that in mind. Now, next Sunday is the last day that you can order these super cool, awesome shirts. Now, and t-shirts and hoodies. Now, here's the thing. It's not really about HBC. And you know, you ever notice the window stickers on the car? You realize that the cross is the biggest thing in that sticker, because that's the focus. And we want to use these t-shirts, these hoodies, these shirts as witnessing opportunities. I can't tell you how many times people ask me about the shirt. Well, what is it? That shirt, where's that at? And it opens the door. So that's our purpose. So if you want one, if you want a few, and hey, make great Christmas gifts. Next Sunday is it. That's the deadline. Whatever is ordered is ordered. Okay. All right, y'all, so we're back from Israel. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about what we experienced. I'm going to show you some videos. I'm going to share some of our experiences. But all of that we're going to lace through God's Word. So if you want to, our verse that we're going to bounce off of is Psalm 122, verse 1 through 9. The ushers will give you a Bible if you want to follow along. We'll be on a little bit of a Bible bus, not as much as normal. You want to keep in mind that we're going to look at Israel from a spiritual level, not so much a geographical or a historical level, and you'll see why. So Psalm 122, verse 1 through 9, this is a song by David, the joy of going to the house of the Lord, and it starts in verse 1 of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For the thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity be within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you, because the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, notice here in verse 8, he says, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be with you. In other words, shalom, y'all. You know, it's funny, we were walking to the Via Dolorosa, and Pastor Pete stopped, and he was holding this up. He was like, Pastor Randy. And so I was like, wow, that's cool. And so he bought it for me. And I was like, hey, you know what? Peace, y'all, all the way up in your grill. But that's what this is saying. Now, we should pray. We should be praying for Israel. We should be praying for Jerusalem. Now, I want you to know this. In all of the world, there is not a more safe place than Jerusalem. In all of the world. That is the safest city in all the planet. Why? Because God has big plans for Jerusalem. And so, just because God has plans for Jerusalem doesn't mean there will always be peace within Jerusalem. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But what I want to do first, and I want to show you a little video. Now, I want you to know, I literally threw this together yesterday. It's very short compared to the fact that I have over 10 hours of video that I need to go through. And probably about 1,000 photos that I took. So this is just going to be some photos and some video. There's going to be a longer version for those of you who went. But this is just to give you a taste. And then we're going to talk about what you saw. Now, you're going to see a baptism section. There were a lot more people who got baptized. I just gave you a little flavor because otherwise the video would be much longer. But the first couple you're going to see, I threw them in there because they don't go to our church or to Brent's dad's church in California. These were people from Kentucky, and they said, hey, can we... would you baptize us? And I was like, yeah, I'll dunk anybody. But I'm joking. But it was such a privilege because they had never been baptized, and they were husband and wife, and they were from Kentucky, and they had their crew up above. And I guess they just said they want to be baptized. So you'll see them. They'll be the first couple. But there's some other stuff. So watch it. It's not that long, but it'll give you a taste. Take a look.
The highlight of my trip was the road to Damascus.
Good morning, HBC. The most impactful part of this trip for me was being on the Sea of Galilee, where our Lord and Savior actually walked on water. Just for some reason hit me like I would have never imagined. That has made such an impact on me on this trip.
Lori, and we're here right now in the Garden Tomb, and we have been so blessed by this trip. What a life-changing trip.
Good morning, HBC. I just want to say that my favorite part of the trip was the Sea of Galilee, and I guess because it was so peaceful there and tropical, which I didn't expect.
I love just being here in the country and being where Jesus may have walked, but also some of the sites where we get to see what life would have been like when Jesus was living, like Nazareth Village, and come around the corner into a workshop and see a young man dressed up, and he looked like Jesus in his father's workshop.
I just really am amazed, and I feel so blessed to be able to come with this group of people, and God has really blessed me. I feel so refreshed, and I'm excited about getting back into His Word.
Well, the trip was awesome. One of my favorite moments was at the Garden of Gethsemane to be able to spend some time in reflection. It was amazing to know that we were where Jesus was. This whole trip has been to know where the creator of the universe was here and walk in his footsteps. It's just been so much of a blessing.
The highlight of my trip was the Sea of Galilee. It was breathtaking. Just to know where the Jesus walked on the water, where the apostles were at, being on that boat, and it just really touched me emotionally.
My highlight of my trip was, there's a couple. Baptism was awesome, and the other part was God spoke to me in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Good morning, HBC from Israel. I will tell you that I was so excited about this trip, and when I started it, I had been praying that God would heal my crippled hands, and I was praying for a miracle over here in Israel. But instead of healing my hands, he revealed himself to me on the Mount of Beatitudes in such a powerful way.
Well, this trip affected me to the point where I want to definitely go back to the Holy Lands in the Scripture in the Old Testament. And I didn't realize the antiquity and the meaning of what all the names and all the people meant.
Also, Pastor Randy spoke about the walls of Jericho, and it was an amazing message that he had for me.
Jerusalem was off the chart. We're so blessed to have been able to make the trip. Our brothers and sisters were such a blessing. The messages that we received while we were on site there and Israel was wonderful.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here to tell you about the most wonderful, wonderful trip. I was baptized in the Jordan River, which is something I've dreamt about all my life. I'd always been too afraid to come, and oh, am I so glad that I did.
And then to be baptized in the Jordan River on the very same day that he revealed me. The first time I'd actually been dumped underwater, I'd only been sprinkled with water before as a baptism.
The most meaningful thing was being baptized in the Jordan River by Pastor Randy. That was the most wonderful part.
Trip was blessed beyond measures and
okay.
Amazing.
You got to stop it.
It was tough.
There you go.
But it was worth it.
Yeah, that was the end of it.
It was just totally amazing.
Thank you. Awesome. You know, the river here is cold. It was cold over there. I really believe it was colder. And then we had little fish nipping away at our legs while we were in there. And I was like, whoa, what was that? I guess we're tasty. They like American food. But there were some things. Geographically, it was a blessing to be there because, like for instance, Jesus Christ was baptized there in the Jordan, marking the start of his ministry. And then he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. And what I hadn't realized was that when I was at the walls of Jericho, at the city of Jericho, you just look, like when you're looking at the city from the platform we were on, if you just look to the left, the little mountain right there, that's where Jesus was tempted. And it just dawned on me that Yeshua in the Old Testament led the Israelites to the promised land. And the first battle he had was there at Jericho. And our Yeshua, Jesus, in leading us to the promised land, the first battle he had with Satan was right there at Jericho. And I thought the parallels were intense. It was beautiful. And I had never seen that before. And to see it right there in front of my eyes and make that correlation, make that connection between Yeshua and Yeshua and the promised land and the promised land was intense. And so it reminded me the fact that Joshua fighting the battle of Jericho was able to have victory because he used the words of God. And Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah, had victory over Satan because he stuck to the word of God. And that reminds me that in our battles, in our life, that we need to stick with the word of God, because then we will have victory. And so it was just neat, all the little things that God was revealing. I think it was unanimous, though, amongst those who were able to, because some weren't able to get on the boat. But we went on a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, and it was really powerful. The gentleman, the Jewish man who drove the boat, actually it was his boat, his name was Danny, he sang Christian songs that we were familiar with, but he sang them in Hebrew. And while we were on the boat, and it was windy, and I could see tears all over the place. And by the way, remember the name Danny from the boat. We're going to talk about him a little bit later. But on the flight to Israel, on the plane, of course, people have to be careful who they sit next to me, because they sat a young Jewish man. He was probably 20 years old, and we struck up a conversation, and I shared Christ with him. He didn't surrender because he was going back to Israel to spend a day with his dad, and then he was heading to Amsterdam to party and go to strip clubs. And he was brutally honest with me, and he had never heard some of the things that I shared with him. He had questions, and you know, about God and about the Bible and how you know, and I was able to answer his questions, and it made him very uncomfortable. But it was neat, you know. And then as we were landing into Israel, it was neat to see there were some rabbis on the plane. And early in the morning, they got up, they put on their phylacteries, they put on their shawls, their prayer shawls, and they were there praying and doing their Shema, doing the prayer, you know, Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God. You know, you should love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then it goes on to say that you should teach this to your generations and the generations to come. And it was so important that I saw this and that they do this. It's important that they do this. But unfortunately, as we're going to see, it's more of a religious thing than an intimate relationship with God. You know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. But at the same time, I found it admirable that they got up early and they were standing there and they didn't care what anybody thought about them. They were going to do their prayers and they were going to put on their phylacteries and put on their shawl and do the Shema. And in that sense, I was like, wow, that's commendable, because how many Christians fail to do that? And we have a love relationship with God, and they do it out of religious activity. But we landed in Israel, and we had a tour guide. Now, this gentleman's name was Yossi. He was the most phenomenal human being I think I've ever met. He knew scripture better than anyone I've ever met. He knew history of Israel. And well, he didn't just know that. He knew the Quran, Old and New Testament. He spoke four or five languages, played five or six instruments well. No music. He just played them from memory. And the thing was, is as a tour guide, oftentimes your tour guide has a script. And if you go off script, you see their weakness. This guy had no weakness. It didn't matter what the question or what the topic was that you would ask, he had it covered. he had it covered. The guy was absolutely brilliant and in all that. Now, the other thing is there are some tour guides that know the Old and New Testament, but they don't know the spiritual implication and how the Old and New Testament tie together, how the Old Testament points to Jesus and how Jesus points back to the Old Testament, how they... This guy understood all of it. He understood. And yet, with all of that, he still didn't accept Jesus Christ. He said, well, I taught on Mount Carmel about Elijah. And when we got back to the bus, you know, I butcher Hebrew words. I know that. But he was like, I'm really shocked at the knowledge of Hebrew, the lack of knowledge of Hebrew. And he goes, when you pronounce, you know, the ha needs to be there because it's representing God and all this stuff. And he was like basically correcting me. And I deserve that because, you know, I butcher the Hebrew language. I know that. But then the Lord put a question on my heart for Yossi. And it was this. Hey, Yossi, which do you think means more to God? That we pronounce the names in the Bible correctly, or that we love him with all our heart, mind, and soul? And he says, I don't know how to answer that. And everyone in the bus started laughing. And then he started throwing out a bunch of facts. And I said, no, I don't want the facts. I'm asking you a question. And finally he conceded and said, well, I guess to love the Lord. I said, yeah, it's even in the Shema, right? And then the rest of the tour, he kept telling us, after that, he kept saying, look, I have Jesus in my head. I just don't have him in my heart. That was really, you know, I'm still praying for him. But I pray, man, he is this close. He understands the parallels. But John chapter 12, this is what the Lord put on my heart. About the fourth day in, I stopped trying to witness to him subtly, and I'll share with you another way that I witnessed to him subtly in a little bit. But God put this on my heart, John 12, verse 37 through 43. And I continued to pray for him. I just stopped trying to witness so hardcore like I did the first 4 days. In the questions that I asked him. Here's what it says. John 12, verse 37 through 43. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. The Lord has believed, Lord, who has believed our report? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, Yossi, this was mind-boggling. Remember Danny, the guy on the boat who sang to us, a believing Jew? Well, Yossi told us that he sends his kids to Danny, so that his kids can hear about Jesus. Now, we had Pastor Dove come. And by the way, if you don't know who Pastor Dove is, when you go out into the fellowship hall, on our missionary board, we support Pastor Dove. He's a friend of mine from Houston who went out, started a church, Beth Shalom, in Pearland, Texas, and God called him to turn that church over, and he went to Israel to minister to the Jews. So we support him. Well, when he came to the hotel to talk to Yossi and to us, it turns out that they both know Danny, the Christian boat driver. Because, by the way, Pastor Dove lives right there on the Sea of Galilee. Spectacular view, but he lives right there. But see, Yossi, he's blinded to Jesus. And kind of, I'll tell you, in the little time I was there, I kind of got it. Because as you look around at all the religiosity, it becomes nauseating. I'm telling you, my spirit was messed up, and I'll talk about that here in a moment. But Yossi wasn't totally blind, because he said this. Here's what he said. He says, you know what I see religiously here? He goes, I see in the Orthodox Jews, you know, the guys with the black hats and the little springs for hair on the side, long Duck Dynasty beards. Do you know over in Israel, none of them work? They don't work. Those rabbis, they don't work. And that is offensive to him. And it's kind of offensive to me as well. But he says this, in the Orthodox Jews, here's what I see, hypocrisy. He says, in the Catholics, and there's a lot of Catholic, and we'll talk about that as well. He says, in the Catholics, I see fear. Then he says, in the Muslims, I see hate. But in you Christians, I see joy and humility. And I was like, tell me more. But he could see that. Now, he took us to Chorazin, this, in the middle of nowhere, this ruins of a city, spoken about in Luke chapter 10, verse 13 through 14. In Luke chapter 10, verse 13 through 14, Jesus pronounces a curse. He says, woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ash. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And so he took us there, and he read that verse, and he showed us the ruins, and it was pretty neat. It was very neat, because it's authentic. There it is. But there's no inhabitants around it. It is cursed. And I asked him, the Lord told me, ask him this question. Hey, Yossi, why was it cursed? And he knew what I was asking. And he got a little, well, let me read it to you. And he read the verse again. And I said, okay, but now explain it to us. He didn't want to explain it to us. He says, well, because they had all the evidence right there before them, and yet they still decided to reject him, they were cursed. You see, Yossi has all the evidence. He's an archaeologist. All the archaeological finds of David's palace and all the stuff we saw is just all pointing to Jesus being legit, the Bible being legit. And he knew the spiritual implications. So he had all the evidence and no excuses. And so I asked him that question, and I could see the conviction on his heart. But he still would not give. The question I have for you is the same one I have for Yossi. Do you see the evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see the proof? Do you see the fact that evolution and the world and all of this stuff is just a giant lie? That there's no joy, there's hurt, there's sadness, there's bitterness? Have you surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ? Because listen, there's a scary verse in the Bible. It's found in Genesis, way back in Genesis, and of all chapters, chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Listen, for Yossi, for me, for you, for us, for we, there comes a time when God says, I've given you enough evidence. I've shown myself to you in multiple ways. But you reject me. You reject me. You reject me. And there comes a point where God says, fine, you will be blinded because you don't want to see. I will give you what you want. And I believe that it's quite possible that that's exactly where Yossi is. He has so much evidence. I mean, just unbelievable amount of knowledge and evidence. And he's there. What was cool? I was going to show it, but I know we don't have enough time. We were going to the Dome on the Rock, right there in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And on our way up, they're actually doing a live archaeological dig. And there happened to be a gal, an archaeologist, right there. She's scrubbing away at some pieces. And we walk up, and he knows her because he's an archaeologist. And he goes, hey, what you got there? And she goes, this is from the first temple. I'm like, wow, she's there. She just pulled up pieces of pottery from the first temple. And she's scraping, and he asked her a question. He goes, hey, wouldn't you love to get possession of the Temple Mount? And she immediately responded very PC, very politically correct. No, 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 no. And he says, come on. You know, wouldn't you love for all the Muslims to be converted tomorrow and then for them to turn over? And she says, no, we can dig around. There's plenty for us to dig around and we'll find. And he goes, see, I told you the Jews are like sharks. But it was neat because it was right there. She was holding a new find. She was brushing it and cleaning it. That was awesome. So anyways, one night we had Pastor Dove Schwartz come and share. And while we were there, Yossi knew that I wanted him to meet him so that they could connect. And maybe Pastor Dove, when we were gone, can work on Yossi's heart along with Danny. And he said something very profound. Well, first of all, he asked Pastor Dove, he goes, tell your friends, be honest with your friends. Tell them about how you're persecuted. And Dove goes, well, we can jump right to that, I guess. You see, over there in Israel, I couldn't believe this. But apparently, if you're a Jew and you want to pray, you're welcome to go to a Muslim mosque and pray. But if you go to a Christian church and pray, they will oust you. They have more hatred for a Christian Jew than they do their enemy Muslims. It's kind of that old saying, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they look at, well, the Muslims hate the Christians and we hate the Christians, so we can agree on that. So Dove, Pastor Dove and his bride are believing Jews in Israel. And, well, he's a Jew. His wife isn't. But they're being persecuted. They are being ousted. It's very hard ground. You got the Catholics, you got the Muslims, and you got the Jew, and you have a very small remnant of Christian Jews, and they are the outcasts, not accepted by the Jews, not accepted by the Muslims, and we won't even get into the Catholic thing. But like Pastor Dove's bride, she can't leave the country. They told her, if you leave the country, we will not let you back in. So please be praying for them because they have a new grandchild. And I'm praying that we can bring Pastor Dove here this next year. He's got a new book out and maybe he can come and share with us about the insights of living in Israel as a Christian Jew. So that was very, very interesting. Oh, so we're sitting there and Pastor Dove is witnessing to Yossi. And Yossi, we bring up Danny on the boat and say, hey, Dov, you know Danny on the boat? He sends his kids to them. And here's what Yossi says. Listen to this. Yossi said, I send my kids to Danny to learn about Jesus because, you know, you always want your kids to have better than you. So he recognizes that having Jesus is better than not having Jesus, but he's not willing to surrender. Is that not intense? Yeah. Genesis chapter 12 verse 3 says this, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, while we were in Israel, I think you heard that like 400 rockets were fired from Gaza towards Israeli territory. Well, I don't know if it was reported here, but one person was killed out of 400 rockets. Did you know that? One person. But it's even stranger. That one person who got hit in his apartment was a Palestinian who was in the country illegally. They wanted to kill Israelis, and they wanted to kill American tourists. They didn't hit not even one, but they hit one of their own countrymen who was there illegally. That's the only one they hit. I'm sorry? I'm not sure what that means, but okay. Bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse. You know, I see it over and over again, that you, when you bless Israel, blessings come back on you. When you curse them, here they want to curse, and it came against their own people. It's so sad. I don't know if you remember this a couple of years ago. You want to show that picture? This is an actual headline. Do you remember that? Where their rockets were going in the wrong direction? Listen, God has his hand of protection upon Israel. And listen, don't think for one second that God is done with Israel. Israel is God's bride. We are also God's bride. The Jews and the Gentiles, we are all going at the rapture. We are all going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you ever hear anyone tell you that God divorced Israel, you ever hear anyone tell you that God and Israel, they're not married anymore, listen, God is not a polygamist. He doesn't have a Jewish wife and a Gentile wife. He has one bride, and they're all washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's a dispute. There's a dispute going on in Israel, and it's been going for a long time. The Jews claim that the land is theirs, given to them. The Palestinians, by the way, who aren't real, the Muslims, I'm going to say Muslim instead of Palestinian because there's no such thing as Palestinian. That's something that, well, anyways, you can look up the history. There's no such, you know, I was working at the airport a long time ago, before I was saved, and I had a couple of friends, and one guy says, "What nationality are you?" The guy says, "Oh, I'm Arab." Then the other guy said, "What nationality are you?" He says, "I'm Palestinian." His Arab friends started laughing at him and said, "Ha, you're so funny. There's no such thing. He's an Arab." At the time, I didn't know what any of that meant, but then I got saved, and for some reason, I never forgot that conversation. Pretty weird. But now I'm a Christian. I understand what he was saying. But we have this dispute between the Jews and the Muslims, both claiming that that territory belongs to them. Because Abraham is their forefather. The Muslims through Ishmael and the Jews through Isaac. But we know it's theirs. Now, something interesting came to my heart. Please do me a favor. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. I want you to see this because it was like an epiphany to me. And I don't know if it's going to mean anything to you, but watch. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. You may be familiar with this story, but if not, pay close attention. Now, two women who were harlots came to the king, this would be Solomon, David's son, came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "Oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened on the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house." Verse 19. "And this woman's son died in the night because she laid on him. So she arose in the middle of the night, took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son who I had bore. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, the one who says, this is my son who lives, your son is the dead one. And the other one says, no, but your son is the dead one and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. Give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son and said to him, oh, my Lord, give her the living child. By no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give it to the woman. Give the first woman the living child. And by no means kill him. She is his mother. So in other words, the woman who was willing to say, yeah, you know what? Neither one of us will have the child. That was obviously not the mother. Because a real mother had a love and a desire to keep the child intact and in whole. It was something precious to her. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had rendered. And they feared the king. And they saw the wisdom of God in him as to administer justice. Now the Jews say that Israel and that territory is their holy land. The Muslims say, no, it's our holy land. The Jews, by the way, the Jews are seeking peace by giving over the land without a fight. So a lot of the land is Palestinian occupied when it really belongs to the Jew. But the Palestinians aren't satisfied with peace and cohabitating. They want the destruction of Israel. By the way, as we were driving around the country, the only checkpoints we saw with armed guards were all Jewish ones. Why? Because the Palestinians know they don't need a checkpoint because the Jews aren't trying to attack them. I want to show you a video. And while we're watching the video, I'm going to explain to you what we realized. Watch this video. So we're driving around, and all of a sudden, the landscape changes, and it looks like this, and even worse. And we go immediately, is this Palestine territory? Is this Palestinian territory? Because all of a sudden, it got filthy. And I mean, as far as we were driving, it was filthy. And then it was affirmed and confirmed that it was Palestinian territory. And then you've got these walls, and the Palestinians put this graffiti all over the walls. The graffiti is anti-Jew, anti-American, and anti-Trump. Because as far as they see, Trump is on the side of the Jews. Now, remember the two women fighting over the baby? Both claiming that the baby is theirs. So the king says, hey, let's divide the baby up. And the one who belongs to, the baby belongs to, says, no, let them have. If this is holy land, people, why do they treat the holy land like a dump? Unless in their heart they know it's really not theirs. Just like this woman fighting over a baby that wasn't theirs. And as I saw that trash and all that and how awful the landscape looked, I just thought to myself, that was the first story that popped into my mind. It was like, there's proof right there that it does not belong to the Palestinians because they don't even care about it. They're destroying it. Now, the Jews that we talked to, including our tour guide, including the guy on the boat, and I'm not trying to offend any of you, but they love Trump. Our tour guide took us to the United States Embassy. Now, this guy, he's very arrogant, very intelligent, very, you know, just doesn't seem like a crybaby type. But when he took us to the embassy and there was a plaque from Trump for moving the embassy to Jerusalem, he had a tear in his eye because he felt like somebody is supporting Israel. He says it has made a difference that America now supports Israel. Now, the other thing that they hate, they love Trump, but they hate CNN. I'm ask anyone on the tour. They find out you're American, and right away, the first thing they did was bash CNN. I mean, immediately, the guy on the boat, Danny, a Christian Jew, was like talking against CNN. Now, I want you to know this. They're not talking against CNN because CNN bashes Trump. Uh-uh. They hate CNN because they say CNN lies about Israel. You know what they have to do? The Israelites now, if you go to these checkpoints, they have female soldiers. And this is what our tour guy said. He says, they find short, chubby, unattractive female soldiers and put them at the checkpoint between Israel and Palestine. Why? Because before, the Palestinians would come and start harassing the guards. And if the guards responded at all, CNN would come in and say, Israel is brutal, Israel is this, and it was all a lie. Never, ever standing up for the fact that they were attacked. So what they did was they put these unattractive, short, chubby Israelite women at the border, and now when they retaliate to defend themselves, they said the CNN has stopped, because how are they going to do that? When you got a little tiny, unattractive woman being attacked by some men with throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails and all this stuff. And so they said it works. So that's what they do now. And he brought one of them up onto the bus. And I was like, man, he's saying that right in front of her. I hope she doesn't know English. She's short. She's chubby. She's unattractive. Hava Nagila. But they love Trump. And they hate CNN. And they say, because CNN lies about Israel. And by the way, you bless, God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. CNN, its rating is just under the cooking show. They fall behind a cooking show in their ratings. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, you go around in Israel. Now, I'm not saying, listen, I highly encourage you to go to Israel, but I want to prepare you. You know, I was expecting for God to move mightily in my heart and all this stuff, but as I got there, it was completely the opposite. I become broken, heartbroken. You go to these historical religious sites, and I'm not trying to bash on anyone. I'm just telling you like it is. And the Catholic Church has turned these religious sites into a circus. Listen, Disneyland is less of a circus than these places. Heart-wrenching, heartbreaking. I didn't see it, but someone asked me, they said, did you see that priest? I go, no. He goes, he had a big old wad. Like he was a big baller, you know, he's a drug dealer, big, make drug dealers blush. And he said he had his hand out and he was asking people for money as they come in. I was like, I didn't see him, but I saw a Jewish priest doing the same thing, a rabbi. It was sad. Bethlehem, the place of the nativity, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. The birthplace where they believe is the birthplace of Jesus Christ was sad. And on the bus, when they started mentioning the different sites, and I said, look, if it's a Catholic site, I don't want anything to do with it. And they thought I was just being bashing on the Catholics. No, I'm saying this. I know the heart of God, and he's not pleased with commercializing something like that. Or people on their hands and knees rubbing a rock that was so smooth, you think they had... it polished it, but it was purely from just hands rubbing over the years, and they're crying over a rock in the ground. Folks, we need to pray for Israel. not just for the Jews, but for the Muslims and the Catholics. And of course, for our Jewish brothers and sisters who are Messianic Jews who have received Jesus Christ. Listen, James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much." Now, I love that. I love that prayer avails much. But we went to the Wailing Wall. And the rabbis were at the wall. And as I went out, you know, we were joking around. You know, I joke about everything. And they put a prayer shawl on me, and they put the little yarmulke, the kippah, the little thing on my head. Covered my bald spot. I was happy. I went out there. But as I took the prayer shawl off, and I just stopped, and I prayed, and then I opened my eyes, and I looked around. I saw this young man standing away from the wall. First of all, it was so spiritually cold. They're praying to rocks. The Wailing Wall. Just like some of the Catholics were on their hands and knees crying and rubbing a rock. There was a young rabbi standing at a podium, a little podium, and he was away from the wall. And he's like, he's got this grimace on his face, and he's rocking. He's like going at it. He's rocking, and he's like, and then I noticed he opened his eye and looked around to see if anyone's watching him. I'm like, dude, you were rocking and grimacing like you were in some deep conversation with God, but then you opened your eyes and looked around. And just then I turned away. I was like, I'm not going to watch you. He locked eyes with me. And then I'm looking here, and there's a little blonde kid, cute kid, probably about 6 years old. And he's carrying a book that's like bigger than he is. And he goes and sits in a white lawn chair, those plastic lawn chairs that you see at Walmart. And he sits in that, puts the book. He's not reading the book. And he looks around and he sees all the men doing this, and he starts doing it. He's just copying what he's seeing. Not reading the book, not reading the Bible, just holding it as a prop. And then I was like, but, you know, God, they're faithful. They're religious in this. I mean, it's religion, but I think they want to seek you. They're zealous. They have zeal. And then the part that just rocked my world. I'm going to try and... This little rabbi comes walking over and he spots our people. These are, you know, they're over there praying. And I'm like, okay, let's see what he's going to do. And he walks over and he goes over to Pastor Pete and he puts his hands up. And Pastor Pete lets him put his hands on his head. And Tom does the same thing. I'm like... At first, my heart is like, that is so cool. You know, we're different religions, but we're, you know, they see the prayer and he's giving him a blessing. And he put his hand, and then he put his hand out for money. And I'll tell you, I began to weep. I began to cry uncontrollably. I was like, how empty that was. That I was getting excited, that there was some love being shown. And you know, it may be misdirected, but it's love. And then it reminded me that that's the same thing we have going on in America. You got pastors who go up and pray for you for $500. I'll send you a prayer shawl for $100. Any donation above that, I'll pray over this cloth and send it to you. And it's like, oh, my gosh. No wonder Jesus turned over the tables. He said, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer. Not fleecing the sheep. Romans 10. We just looked at Romans 10 a few weeks ago. Romans 10, verse 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God of Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. Or how about this? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 through 6. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have been tested that the Lord, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him, look at this, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. These people are praying to cold stones and rejecting Christ, the cornerstone. And that broke my heart. The whole drive home to the hotel room on the bus, I could not stop crying because I hurt so bad, because I wanted to shake these people and say, Jesus is alive. You don't have to weep and wail at the wall or pretend. You don't have to beg for money. You can just come before God and be free from all this hypocrisy and religiosity. And it broke my heart. And then as I was coming home, I realized that there's not much difference. Oh God, how I want to be different in my heart. I want to be caught up in religion. I want a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I want it fresh every day. I want it new every day. I want it alive every day. And you know what? I don't have to go to Israel to get it. He's right here in my heart. Nothing over there compares to what I can have daily in my quiet prayer time or in the time that I spend reading my Bible. Nothing over there compares, because those are all geological and those are geographical locations. He is in your heart. Now, I want to close with this. While I was there, and a little bit beforehand, because it really took a lot for me to leave. But by the way, thank you to Pastor Bill and Brent for doing a great job of covering the pulpit while I was gone. But it's still hard for me to leave, but I feel better that when I leave, that there's good teaching still. But I said, you know what? I don't think I'll go back. But I might. Under different conditions. I think I might go back, but not as a sightseeing tourist. But I think I want to go back and do ministry. I want to go back and I want to work with some orphans. I want to work with the homeless. I want to bless the poor people. I want to go to the street and I want to share the gospel. So be praying, because we might do that next year. Completely different heart, different vision. That I'll be excited about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, and we do pray for Israel. We do pray that you would do a greater and greater work in our lives and in the lives of your people. Lord, you have not given up on Israel, and neither will we, Lord. We'll pray for Israel. We'll pray for the Muslims. And we'll pray for the Palestinians. And we'll pray for the Catholics. And we'll pray, Lord, for the lost here in America. We'll pray for the lost here in the church. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would renew in me the joy of my salvation. That you would create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today that if any of them, Lord, if any of them need to get right with you this morning, that they would do it in the quietness of their own heart. That we would not be zealous for religion, but that we would be deeply in love with our Savior. So God, thank you for the eye opener. Thank you for the vision. Thank you for the hope and the promise that the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man or woman avails much. So, Lord, we're going to pray much that you might avail to bring people to salvation, because there's a lost and dying world out there all around us. Thank you that you're faithful. Lord, we love you. We praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Shalom, y'all.